Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Vantage Point Podcast, where we bring insight, keys, and perspective to everyday living through the lens of God. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm so glad you're tuning in again to another episode. This is episode 3 of our current series called Reckless. And man, if it's your first time with us, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad you're tuning in, wherever you're listening from, whatever platform you're listening on. Super excited to have you here. If it's you've been here more than once, 100th time, 500th time, 1,000th time, welcome back again. So glad you're here as well. And I just want to make sure to call out, if you haven't gotten the first two episodes of this series, man, make sure you go back and listen before you pause, before you even start episode 3. Just pause this real quick, go back and give a listen and make sure you're caught up and ready to go, because we've been jumping into this thing the last 3 episodes or so, all leading up to our episode next week on Easter. We're actually going to launch it on Easter, on that Sunday, and it's going to be the series finale of this current series we've been in, titled Reckless. And I hope you've enjoyed it. We've kind of taken a different spin, a different look at how God's love, is the way it is, right? We started with looking at our perspective of his love, and then we tapped into his perspective of his love, right? And so for this episode, we're going to look at a specific area when it comes to his love, and we're going to look at our sacrifice is what we're going to look at. And we're not going to go broad picture. We're going to hone it in on a specific area of our sacrifice when it comes to God's love, when it comes to us accepting God's love. And quite honestly, it's an aspect of our sacrifice that I think it seems simple enough, but it's also one of those that I think we often neglect, or we don't fully embrace it as something major. But there's a particular story in the Bible that really speaks to this mindset, and it's a little bit different. So hopefully it resonates with you and you're able to gain something from it. But we're really going to focus on belief. And we're going to focus on, and more specifically, we're going to focus on doubt. And the reason I want to really tap into that is I want to kind of get into that aspect a little bit when we're thinking about God's love, right? And I think that's a major step for us, right? It's a major key to that, to our understanding of his love for us, right? We have to believe it, right? We may not fully understand it, and we talked about that in the first episode, right? We're not going to fully understand why God loves us the way that he does. Why would he leave the 99 to go to the one? Why would he make such a fuss about us the way we are, and all of those things? And so it's such a interesting way for us to gauge how our belief and how our doubt plays such a huge part in this journey that we're on as Christians. And even as we're leading up to Easter, you can see if you read the story of Jesus' crucifixion and getting to that point of his death and resurrection, you see that the undertone of doubt, right? It's spurred by doubt. Nobody believes. The Pharisees, they don't believe he is the Son of God. They don't believe it. Even to some degree, his own disciples lose their belief, right? And as they see their Savior crucified and died, right, and killed, right? It's a level of that tends to hit us all at some point, but it's something that we so seldomly engage in discussion on, right? It's like, well, we have to, and if we're honest, like there have been moments, even as a believer, that I know I have questioned, right? And sometimes our logic comes into play, and sometimes our history or our thought of our history comes into play, and we fail to really embrace that, right? And doubt can creep back in. And really, it's just one of those things that we ultimately get into as Christians. And again, it's something we don't talk about, where we have those moments, where we have those situations that lead us to doubt or lead us to do those things. And so, again, I encourage you to just lock in with me for the next 20 minutes or so, and we're going to break this thing down. And so I want to really just like give out some key insight to, you know, a reason why we as Christians may doubt, right? We can understand to a degree a non-believer doubting, right? They may not have the experience, or if they do, they maybe have a bad experience when it comes to Christianity or God. And so they may have that, right? But us as Christians, right, we have been on that road a little bit longer. We've been in relationship a little bit longer. And even with that, we still will have moments where the doubt will come in, right? And that we can think about many reasons, right? But one reason that we think, that we fall into that doubt is, you know, sometimes we expect God to act in ways, than he promised to act, right? So we think God should do it this way, and he does it this way, right? And you know, I know I've struggled with that, and I know other people have too. And if you think about it, like if we think that, right, think about it. If somebody does something that is opposite of what you expect them to do, right, then your doubt or your belief in them will, you know, your doubt in them rises, but yet your belief lowers, right, because they didn't do it at least the way you thought they should, right? And I think that's, we get into that role, we get into that funk sometimes, and we get into those moments where we see that we struggle with that, right? And we're going to get into the actual context and text of the Bible with that particular area, but I really want to really just focus in a little bit on that concept of being a doubting Christian, right? And we even see that in the Bible, right? We see Stephen, the disciple, right? And when Jesus comes back from his death and he's resurrected, and Stephen needs a sign, he wants to believe, right? He wants to see it. He doesn't take the word of Jesus. I need to see something to show me, right? And I don't know if this is you. I saw you, you know? And so we get into that. And this thing is, you know, we just, again, we have these moments where maybe life hits or things don't go our way or things that ultimately shift us in our minds that take us down this path of disbelief. And we understand that we have these underlying moments where we question what God is doing, or we question his motives, we question his word. And a lot of times, like I said earlier, like Christians, we don't want to always admit that. We like to put on airs like we just always listen to God and he does exactly what the way we want him to do it and everything is all perfect. It's like, no, let me be the first to tell you, it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes I don't like the process that God takes me to. Sometimes I don't like the way something has to happen for me to get to a space or do. I don't always like that, right? And I think we as Christians would agree that we don't always like that. And so when you get into the space of, you know, where you get the we'll call them the, you know, politically correct Christians who, you know, seem to say the right things at the right time in the right way. And it's like, but do they ever really, really deal with these things? Do they ever really go through these moments? And the truth is they do. But again, it's something that almost seems taboo to talk about. Like, we just think, oh, well, we're Christians, we're supposed to believe all the time. And it's like, no, we're still human. We still have logic. And sometimes our logic will outweigh our belief. Sometimes we have those moments where these things just get into a space and we allow the circumstances and the situation around us to dictate our belief. We allow the situation to get us in a space that allows us to doubt. And and it's a delicate, you know, mindset to move into. It's a delicate space to process. It's a delicate journey to be on that I don't know. Again, it's not something that we're always fully equipped or fully knowledgeable of to navigate it. So we fall back into what we know, right? Human nature. I don't believe, okay, it didn't happen and this failed or this was this. And so now I don't believe. I see this. All I see is the circumstance. All I see is the issue. All I see is the thing. And really, when it comes to his love, like a sacrifice we have to make is we have to put aside our doubt. We have to be able to say, I know I feel this doubt. I know I feel some uncertainty, but what I know about his love, what I know that is his perspective on his love far outweighs my perspective. And what we're going to ultimately go into next week is that we're going to learn, we're going to understand that his sacrifice far outweighs our sacrifice, right? And there's so much that we as Christians that we have to really latch on to and understand when it comes to those things pertaining to how we process in our Christian walk. And I want to like really just jump into this story because it's one we know. And if you don't know, so we're going to really focus on the story of Lazarus, and I'm going to read a little bit of the passage, and this is out of John 11, and I'm going to read out of the CSB version of the Bible. So just so you're understanding where kind of the verbiage and everything like that. And so we start in verse 1, and it says, "Now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Martha was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sister sent a message to him, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When Jesus heard it, he said, 'The sickness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, 'Let's go to Judea again.' 'Rabbi,' the disciples told him, 'just now the Jews tried to stone you, and you're going there again? Aren't there 12 hours in a day?' Jesus answered, 'If anyone walks during the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks during the night, he does stumble because the light is not in him.' He said this and he told them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up.' Then the disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will get well.' Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they were speaking about natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died. I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe, but let's go to him.' Then Thomas said to his fellow disciples, 'Let's go too, so that we may die with him.'" And right off the bat, like there's a few things in here that really speak to that idea of doubt, right? And I want you to understand, like, these are the disciples and they are with Jesus. Like, I want to stress that. They are with him. They're not us in a future tense where we are with Jesus in spirit. They are physically with the man. They are physically with Jesus, the Son of God, in person, standing there, having a conversation. Right. And Jesus is saying, "Let's go here." Right. And then we see an instant kind of lack of belief. Right. There's wait a minute. We've been there. They tried to kill us. Like, they tried to kill you. Like, why do you want to go there again? Right. And then again, he's explaining to them, while he doesn't tell them plainly right away, he just says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up." Right. Again, the disciples, not fully understanding, right? If he's falling asleep, he'll get well. So they're thinking he's asleep, he's sick, maybe he doesn't feel well. And then Jesus just plainly tells him he's dead, right? And we need to go to him, right? So you can believe. First time, right? Jesus says, so that you may believe. And then Thomas at the end, well, let's go so we may die with him. So it's a double fold of doubt where they already understand Lazarus is dead. But if they remember, Jesus said he's fallen asleep and then he tells them he's dead, but I'm on my way to wake him up. Like, they're so consumed in their doubt at that moment or their fear of what was to come that they aren't putting the two together just yet, right? And so again, it ties back into that. How we see a circumstance, we see a situation, and immediately our doubt falls into play, right? And going on to verse 17, it says, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Again, Jesus makes a statement, your brother will rise again. Martha's reply, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And yet again, there's that word, believe, several times. He's telling her, the one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then her response was, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. After she said this is verse 28, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. As soon as Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw that Mary got up quickly and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to cry there. As soon as Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who came out, who had come with her crying, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. And I want to pause right there. So that's up to verse 33 in chapter 11. And I want to point out a few things. Number one, like, Mary comes out to Jesus and says the exact same thing her sister said. If you had been here, this would not have happened. But Mary didn't say anything else after that. She just said the same thing and she began to cry, right? And then everyone else began to cry. And then we see in verse 33, it says, Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. And I think sometimes we focus on the deeply moved part, right? And one thing that this calls out, it says deeply moved or angry in this translation. And troubled. And I wondered for a minute, what I love about the Bible is you can read it and get new revelation every time. I've read this story and I've heard this story recently, just a few weeks ago, taught in an amazing church here in Florida. And as I was sitting there, the pastor had said, you know, the beauty of God's word is you can read it 1,000 times and get a new revelation. And as I heard him teaching this, I literally sat there and said, what if Jesus was not only moved emotionally for his friend, which is what the majority that you, when you hear this story taught, focuses on, but what if he was moved or troubled by the disbelief that everyone is showing in this moment? Because again, back to my point, these people are with him. They're not reading about him. They're not hearing a story about him. They are physically with him at the moment that this is happening. He is standing right there with them in this moment. He's right there. And as much as he is sharing with them and giving them clear understanding, like clear words, maybe not right at the onset of his communication, right? But if he's saying, he's asleep, but I'm going to go wake him up. Hey, he's dead. I'm going to wake him up. Do you believe? I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even though he dies, he lives. Do you believe this? He is asking them time and time again. Rewind back to the disciples not even wanting to go, right? And now we get to this point that Jesus is deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. And in verse 34, he just says, "Where have you put him?" he asked. "Lord," they told him, "come and see." And he finds that they've put him in a tomb. And then verse 35, probably the shortest verse in the Bible, and one that probably has more questions about it, or at least one of the ones that creates more questions from two words: Jesus wept. I wonder, as Jesus has this moment of reflection and maybe even some understanding, right? Because he knows what's coming for him. And he mentioned way back that the reason he tells the disciples that Lazarus has died, "I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe." Had he had already been there, the disciples wouldn't have been there to see the miracle and reaffirm their belief, right? And so now we fast forward into this moment where everyone has shared and Jesus is there and Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, been in the tomb for 4 days. And so the Jews said in verse 36, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also kept this man from dying?" Yet again, another moment of doubt. And they're allowing the circumstance. Even here's what's wild. Like these people, right? The Jews said, they're responding to first what was the sisters were going through, what Mary was going through, but now they're responding in what they're seeing because they see the emotion in Jesus, see how he loved him. But then others, couldn't he who did this also could have stopped this? And again, it's another way to say what the sister said. If you had been here, this would not have happened. And then we go to verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was lying against it. "Remove the stone," Jesus said. Again, he's given indications what's about to happen. No one's quite caught on yet. And then Martha says to Jesus, Lord, there is already a stench because he's been dead 4 days. And then verse 40, Jesus, he had enough of the disbelief at this point. He had enough of the doubt. He says to her, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And at that point, verse 41 says, so they removed the stones. They removed the stone. And I wonder, there was no more rebuttal after that. Because I think at that moment, their belief checked back in. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I say this so that they may believe you sent me. And again, this is one last connection point before the moment comes that Jesus connects with his Father and tells him, he says, but because of this crowd, I say this so that they may believe you sent me. I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me. What is Jesus saying right there? He's saying that first, thank you for hearing me. Thank you that you heard me before I got here. Thank you that you always hear me, no matter when I call. There is a constant belief that happens between Jesus and God. Jesus is always acknowledging and giving thanks because his belief never wavered in this moment. He knows that his Father is hearing him. And because of the crowd, he is saying this so that they believe you sent me. And after Jesus said this, this is verse 43, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Verse 44, the dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips and white, and with his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him go. And verse 45 says, therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he did, believed him. But verse 46, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And as I close this episode out, I really want to go back to verse 40 because I think that's the question for all of us. When we're in those moments of doubt, when we're in those moments where the circumstances hit too hard, where we're in those moments that we question our belief in what God is doing, when we question his love, when we question his sacrifice, when we question his perspective on his love. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? That is what he's asking us today. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Because I am the resurrection and the life. That the one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for another moment, another opportunity to to share about you, Father God, to speak and be a vessel through this podcast that you're able to reach people, that we're able to reach and connect people to who you are and what you stand for, Father. And even as we talk today about doubt and belief, Father, I just pray that even as we hear that, that we start to see people's belief rise and we hear their doubt subside, Father, and we continue to see as they build a relationship, as they grow, and as they strengthen their tie with you, Father, that they continue to have a belief that surpasses circumstances, to have a belief that surpasses situations, Father God, that has a belief that surpasses emotions in their current state, Father God. They continue to see you for all that you are, for all that you have done and sacrificed, Father. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Man, I thank y'all so much again for tuning in to another episode of Vantage Point Podcast. I hope this episode has blessed you. I hope this series is blessing you. We got one more episode, as I mentioned earlier, on Easter. So please make sure to tune in, like, subscribe, share, whatever you want to do. And man, as always, continue to seek insight, keys, and perspective for everyday living through the lens of God. It'll change your world and your life. God bless.